You know, I've been getting really excited and wound up in this word that the Lord's been giving me for the last fortnight. And, you know, day by day getting more and more excited about what God wanted to share. And yesterday afternoon, Duncan and I sat down and did this PowerPoint presentation, got it all just so, and then we can't find it anywhere this morning. So we're going to let God's word speak for itself, which is good. So we don't need all the trappings, we just need God to speak through this word. And I do believe it is a powerful word for each and every one of us today. To remember the old song, The Rhythm of Life. You know, the rhythm of life is a powerful thing. Puts a tingle in your fingers, puts a tingle in your feet, in your toes. Well, what I want to speak about today is God's rhythm of life. God's rhythm of life. It's, you know, carrying on from what Pastor Andrew was saying last week about how we live in God's kingdom, the kingdom of God now. Living as the bride of Christ, God's pattern for our lives, God's rhythm of life for each and every one of us. And it's learning to move in the rhythms of the Holy Spirit. You know, the first time the Spirit was mentioned in the Bible, it's in Genesis. The Spirit was hovering and God said. So you get the Spirit and the Word, God said. And the last time, it's the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So we get the Spirit and fellowship with Jesus. You know, that bride-bridegroom relationship together. The corporateness of life with God. So we've got the Spirit and the Word at the beginning. We've got the Spirit and the Bride at the end. And we need both. Now, we were sitting talking over breakfast yesterday. And it was excellent. An excellent breakfast, by the way. It was really good. And someone, who shall remain nameless, said, was trying to find out where I was going with today's message and what I was going to be speaking of. And suddenly out of the blue, he said, as long as it's not Matthew 10. Well, my word is from Matthew 10. And of all the books in the Bible, all the chapters he could have chosen, it is Matthew 10. So I'm sorry. I won't mention you by name, but you know who you are. So I want to read a few verses from Matthew 10, beginning at the first verse. And Jesus is calling out his disciples and sending them out. You know, these disciples who'd been with him 24/7, watching him, living with him, doing everything with him, sharing his life. And now Jesus is sending them out. So Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. And then moving on to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim the message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. Freely you have received. Freely give. God's rhythm for life. Receiving, releasing. Forming, filling, giving out. Kingdom living. You know, God's pattern for life. And let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis 1 and do a little bit of Bible study, which you know I'm all for. I don't know about you, but God always shows me something new and something different when I look at the story of creation. So it's going back how we receive life. Beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now it's just my personal opinion, but that to me speaks of the Ice Age. Or how we could explain it. You know, the no light whatsoever and the Spirit hovering over the deep. Anyway, that's just an aside. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the good from the darkness. God saw that the light was good. And now verse 9, God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 12. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Verse 16. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate night light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 20. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, etc. And verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So it's six stages, isn't it? God called the dry ground land and said it was good. And then he produced plants, seeds, and God saw that it was good. Put all the lights in the sky, and God saw it was good. And then living creatures in the sea and birds, and God saw that it was good. That's the fifth. And then wild animals, and God said it was good. That's six. And God created man and woman, said that's very good. That's seven. So six stages, and each stage was good. And then he made man, the crowning glory of creation. Did you know you're the crowning glory of creation? And God says, very good. It brought to life to bring pleasure to Father. Man made in the image of God, the climax of creation. And we are told to be fruitful, to multiply, fill the earth with images of God, bringing pleasure to the Father, the climax of his creation, formed in the image of God. Very good. So that's the climax of creation. But then we come to the new creation. And the climax of new creation is that we be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Okay, the climax of new creation, that we be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Romans 8, verse 29. I have to find this one. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. It's the climax of new creation. So we live to please the Father, but we're being conformed to the image of his Son. And 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We with unveiled faces, all reflecting the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness. Isn't that wonderful? And God has said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth with the image of Father, and fill the earth with the likeness of his Son, bringing delight to Father's heart. We receive the likeness of Jesus Christ and release it to others. Freely we've received, freely we give. And they end up doing the same. And, you know, the earth can be filled with the likeness of Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. And we need to think Jesus and being like him before everything else. You know, before ministry, before giftings, before everything. And power, peace, joy, healing, everything follows that. Right at the beginning of Genesis, we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working side by side. God forms the earth and he fills it. He forms the sea and he fills it. He didn't just say, oh, let's make a fish today. Now where can we put it? He first of all formed the sea and then he filled it with fish. He shaped the skies, like Duncan Nono likes this one, and then put stars in them, hands that flung stars into space. He shaped the land and he put vegetation and animals and then man into it. You know, he's forming, giving shape to the heavens and then filling them with stars. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Forming, giving shape to the seas and then filling them with fish. And just as Duncan likes looking at stars, I love looking at different sorts of fish, you know, the tropical fish and the colours on them. And I can sort of imagine a heavenly paintbrush, you know, painting all these beautiful colours and shapes and what have you, patterns on fish. So beautiful, you know. If we were making a fish, we'd probably just make one fish. But God made infinite varieties of things like that. I could go on, you know, flowers, butterflies, everything around us. You know, God has had his handiwork in each and every one of them, has made it perfect for us. You know, God said it's good, and with us, it's very good. And he forms us, and he fills us. Forming is character building to be like his Son. And filling us is releasing his life, that Holy Spirit life, in us and through us. But in the process of forming, you know, character building, it's painful. I can remember years ago, and I haven't done this for a long time, but going to Keep Fit because I felt I was out of shape. Yeah. And, you know, okay, doing the exercises and what have you, but the next day, did I know about it? I had aches and pains in muscles I didn't even know I had, or I didn't even know existed. Could hardly move, you know, and that happens to us if we're doing something strenuous, doesn't it? Next day our muscles really ache. But the shape of Jesus and my shape are very different. If we sort of imagine this as being the shape of Jesus, I know it's not, but just for today, a perfect circle. And then this is my shape, a sort of formless blob. We put the two together and they don't fit. It's going to take a lot of pulling, a lot of pushing to get back, you know, to get into that shape of Jesus. God's got a lot of forming to do in my life, I know, before I can, you know, conform to the pattern of his Son. It's no wonder it's painful being stretched and pulled. You know, it's times like this when I don't know about you, I'm sure you've all been through it, but it seems as if God's miles away. You're down in the valley or feel you're in the wilderness. No matter how hard you try, you just can't break through to God. You pick up your Bible and it seems dry. You come to church, it's so hard to join in praise and worship. Duncan's favourite saying is it's like ploughing through treacle. You know, sort of every way you try to go forward, you sort of stick. And you'd sort of say, you know, God, where are you in all this? But the truth is, he never leaves us or forsakes us. He's near at every stage we go through. And, you know, every forming time is good for us. I know last year I had a year of a forming time like no other. You know, I just could not get through to God. I really struggled all the time. When God gave me a message, it was different. I could, you know, sort of work on that, felt God speaking to me and through me. But most of the time, it was just like a dry desert. You know, it's so difficult when you're going through times like that. But the only times you can really get near is sort of when you're praying for somebody else or somebody else is praying for you. But then there's the filling times, and I love these times. Everything you read in the Word comes alive to you. Every church meeting's great. You know, and you're praising and worshipping God, really touching the throne. You've got an open heaven. You feel as if, you know, that God's love is pouring down, and it's wonderful. If only it could be like that all the time. But God knows what he's doing. You know, he is forming us in order that he can fill us more. And the more we sort of reach out, the more that we get into that shape of Jesus, the more he can fill us. Worst thing is, when you're going through one of these forming times, one of these dry times, and the one that you're with is going through a filling time. You know, you're sort of saying, oh, didn't get anything out of that this morning. You know, I'm sure, you know, it was very good, but I just couldn't receive anything. And then maybe your husband or wife is sort of saying, oh, it was wonderful, wasn't it marvelous? That really spoke to me. And it is so difficult, but God forms us. He knows what he's doing. He's spending time forming us and filling us. You know, it's only in the valley where things grow, not on the mountaintops. We'd love to be up on the mountaintops with God all the time, but he wants to form us down in the valleys. You know, that's where things grow, not on the mountaintops. It took God 7 stages before the image of God was formed in man. But he said, it's good at each stage. You know, in these dry forming times, I sort of think of Job and what Job's comforters were saying to him. But in these dry forming times, the enemy would love to come and say, oh, you'll never make it. You're not close to God. You know, what are you doing here? You know, God's miles away from you. But whatever stage you're at, rejoice in it. God says, it's good. Rejoice in where you are today, even if it is a dry time. But know this, God loves you where you are, but he's not content to leave you there. Go back to Genesis 1, verse 2. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was above the surface of the earth, deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then to Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, which we've had already mentioned this morning, which was quite a confirmation to me. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. It's the same word for hover that is used for the spirit hovering over the waters and the eagle hovering over the nest. The picture of the Holy Spirit is like that lovely picture of Mother Eagle. The little chicks are happy and secure in their nest, and it's usually up on a rocky crag, very high up on a mountain. It's a long way down. But she's not content to leave the nest. She stirs up the nest, puts spiky things like teasels in the nest so that the little ones are most uncomfortable and there's nowhere for them to go except out. But then she watches them and making their attempts to fly, and if they fall, she swoops down, catches them on her wings and lifts them back up to safety again. And the Holy Spirit, the one that's hovering, wants to launch us into flights of faith. Now, sometimes, I know maybe you're different, but me, my idea is sort of to come to church, listen to a good message, think that's wonderful, and go away. And think, you know, oh, I'm okay. But that's not what the Holy Spirit wants. We want to make nests for ourselves. We want to get comfortable. You know, we want to really feather it, really make it special. We like our comfort zones, finding our place in church, flowing in what we're good at, getting it sorted out, feeling secure. But the Holy Spirit wants to stir us up and launch us out into that scary place where the only way we're going to make it is if he'll come and catch us. Horrible, isn't it? Now, you know, this next prayer that I'm going to sort of read, it's a very short one, but really, you know, these packets of cigarettes that carry a health warning, you know, they can seriously damage your health. Well, this one could seriously damage your spiritual health. And the prayer is, Holy Spirit, launch me to new flights of faith. Okay, Holy Spirit, launch me to new flights of faith. Who knows what he'll lead you into? For us, it was one time it was leaving a lovely house, a regular income, schools for the children, and going off and living by faith for 5 years. Scary, eh? It was finding ourselves in Uganda, training future leaders in areas of ministry. It was sorting out team problems in New Orleans. It was going back to the Northeast, not knowing what we were going to do, where we were going to live. And just then the managers of the Christian bookshop were retiring just as we arrived. And so, you know, God had prepared a place for us, but it was a scary time. And what about all of us leaving the UK and moving to Spain for who knew what? For me recently, it's been planning and leading Bible school. New challenges all the time. New flights of faith that God's got for each and every one of us. I wonder what God's speaking to your heart, where he's leading you. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of adventure. We're constantly trying to settle, aren't we? Sort of make little nests for ourselves. Maybe we came here thinking, oh, retirement, taking it easy. But that hovering mother eagle wants constantly to launch us out, putting us into situations where we can't manage without him. Our way of learning is knowledge. His way is putting you where you can't manage without him. Recognize who you are in Jesus. Don't say when a challenge comes up, that's not for me. The Holy Spirit is saying, yes, it is. Freely you've received, freely give. The Lord wants to work through each and every one of us, formed and filled and surrendered to and in partnership with the Holy Spirit, whatever age we are, however many years we've got ahead of us. But what can we freely give? We have freely received, haven't we? Well, first of all, his grace and his mercy, so freely given to us. We should show that to others. And forgiveness. Freely we've been forgiven. Let's freely forgive others. Encouragement. We should encourage others It's so great to get encouragement, isn't it? But God encourages us all the time. Let's encourage others. Wisdom. You know, God's all the wisdom of Jesus. You know, we have the mind of Christ. Let's share that with others. And his love to show to others. You know, I think of salesmen, and only those who passionately believe in their product are really good salesmen. You know, only passionate lovers of Jesus are really good communicators of the love of Jesus. Let's, you know, spend time, get close to him, passionately close to him, that intimate relationship with him. He's the lover of our souls. I know it's what first drew me to the Lord, seeing that love in other people. And I guess it's the same for a lot of us here. And then lastly, I'm sure there are lots of others, but salvation. At some point, someone shared with us the good news about Jesus Christ. God freely gives us salvation, but in order for people to receive it, they have to first hear the good news. We've received it. We should release it. I know it's not easy. I think again of when we were heading back to the northeast, and people said to us, oh, it's so hard there. It's like an evangelist's graveyard. But God thought differently. And when we were there, we saw God, you know, release his spirit in a really sovereign way through Sunderland. And we saw a mighty move of the Holy Spirit throughout the whole region because of that. We might look out there and see hardness, but God sees harvest. And it's very important the way we look at it. We don't need to look at it as being hard. I know it can be, but God sees harvest. Let's look through his eyes. There's a sign over that door as we go out. You know, you're entering his harvest field. Don't see hardness, see harvest. Freely you've received, freely give. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.